We just had a moment of silence. This is what it is. We are so thankful you are here today. Really quick, as we go into the service today, I know this time of year, maybe you have some things on your heart. Maybe there were some things you were thinking about that you didn't ask for prayer for. So before we go on the message, we've had prayer. Can we ever pray too much? No. All right, let's pray as we go into the message today. Dear Jesus, thank you today that you have given us this day. And thank you that whatever we bring into this house today, we are going to get to lay at your feet. Right now, maybe, Jesus, maybe there are battles that no one knows about right now because we're afraid to tell each other. Maybe there's battles that others can clearly see we're walking through. But no matter what, Jesus, we know that you have already won the victory. You have already gone through that battle. So today, I pray that we would not only lay it at your feet, but that we would lock arms with each other and know that we aren't walking through this season alone, the season that we're in, from jobs, from sickness that's going around, from surgeries. Maybe it's a finance issue, a house issue, a relationship issue. Whatever that is, Jesus, we lay it at your feet. And today I pray that for each and every one of us, that not only would you be glorified, Jesus, but that we would feel your presence and know you better today than how we walked in. We love you, Jesus. It's for your name and for your glory that we get to do this. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So today, really quick, come on, we got to get there. You know, we got to have some calisthenics. We're just getting back into the groove of everything. Let two people know, God sees me, God hears me, and God loves me. Come on, God sees me, God hears me. Say it like you mean it. Come on. God sees me. God sees me. There it is. Yes. Jeremy's got my back. God sees me. God hears me. And God loves me. No matter what you're walking through today. Yes. Tell him. He was going to come out like Ric Flair earlier. I'm glad he did. So that being said, we were ready to go. I'm excited that we dive into this thing called prayer. Because no matter where we are, when I say prayer, we all have images in our mind, don't we? Maybe it's a song. Whoa, we're halfway there. In the house of the Lord, I give you a chance. I just sit there. Maybe you did Garth Brooks Unanswered Prayers. Was that it? You thank God for unanswered prayer. Right? No? No? Do you remember when you're talking? Maybe you went to Simple Man. You don't forget there is a someone up above. Maybe you do Tar and Wells. Pray. It's a new one. You've heard it on the radio, right? When we pray. See the Vine Worship's got me. Alyssa's got me. Wherever we are, though, maybe it's not a song. Maybe it's a time in your life. Most of the time, it's a time in your life when you are going through a rough patch. Prayer is something that connects us all. As I've been getting ready for this, I shared this Thursday, so I'm going to keep sharing it because it's kind of exciting to me, and it's just something new Jesus has been teaching me through this. We all have ways to connect with each other. Most of the time, I will tell you, mine is going through the valley of grief. Like, I can't exactly say that I know everything you're going through in the valley of grief, but I know the road signs. God has blessed me to walk through that. And some people would say it's a blessing to walk through that, and I would say yes, yes it is. I can walk with you through that. But if you tell me, hey, I totaled my car, maybe I know how to do that. Hey, I backed into a car in a Verizon parking lot. I may or may not know what that is about. But that being said, what's the statute of limitations? He's in there anyway. We can't ask him. So that being said, wherever you are, though, prayer connects us all. Throughout all cultures, throughout all regions, there has not been one unreached people group in the world that didn't pray. And I know that we say, well, even if you're an atheist, you don't pray. Even atheists will admit at some point in their life they prayed. So what if the connection point we have with each other is actually prayer? Now, does it mean all prayer is the same? Absolutely not. But it does mean when someone's praying, we can point them to Christ and how we're praying. And so the question is, if prayer is the connection, why in the world do we have that? Well, in Genesis 1:26, what is it? We are all made in whose image? God's image. So we have this seed inside of us of God, and prayer is the way that we communicate with God. So as we dive into this, before we dive into the message today and we go through this series, this is my heart for us, Vine Church, as we go through this series. And it's Ephesians 1:17. If you want to get there in your Bible, you can. But if you don't, we're going to see it each and every week as we walk through this series. And it's what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And it says this. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That's why we gather, church, so that all of us may know God better through Christ alone, and we can share Christ with others so that they can get to know God better, some of them surrendering their life to Christ for the first time. And so now we're going into prayer. I would ask you, and I already know the church answered. This is what we're going to dive into today. I would say for us, if we know that everyone really prays, then what is the right prayer? How do I pray it? And why do I pray it? So if I ask you, church, what is the right prayer? Your answer is probably going to be what's about to pop up on the screen. If I said, what is the right prayer? You would probably say it's what? The Lord's Prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer. That's where we're all going to go, is we're going to say, hey, what's the number one prayer that you should pray? And it's the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to tell you today, I don't think they have snakes. Praise Jesus' name. If you do, I'll punch you straight in the throat. We don't do that in this house. But before you call me a heretic, I want to maybe scratch the surface on something today. What if the Lord's Prayer isn't the only prayer? I'm not saying that it's not a good prayer. But what if Jesus had something more than us just babbling these words, scrambling them together every day? What if there's something more behind the Lord's Prayer than just words we say all the time? So in me saying that, we're going to go old school for a second. Can you go old school with me? Give me an amen if you can. We're going to stand up, and we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. If you don't have a Bible, always, we got them free for the asking. As always, our Vine production team, Zach, make sure that it is on the screen so when we stand, you don't have to do it by rote. So let's go ahead and stand to our feet together, church. If you're at home right now, stand up. We're going to read Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13, and this is something that will be familiar to each and every one of us. So here we go. 1, 2, 3. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. All right, you can take a seat. What if we just stood the whole time? That would be awesome. But I don't know, did anybody grow up in church doing that when the pastor would read the Word of God? You always had to stand up. Did anybody ever have that? Sometimes it would happen during revivals, you know, when you know to spit, go three rows back, just like kind of me. There's really not anybody on the front row because I spit a lot, like you knew when that happened. So that being said, we would sing this. So let me ask you this. This is why I'm talking about, and I believe that the Lord has led us to go into the Lord's Prayer today. So we said that out loud. What did that do with you? Was that a time of worship, or was it just kind of words? And if it was just words, it's okay, because I think that that's what Jesus is teaching us in this prayer. Sometimes we can just say, Hail Marys, I threw this up there, and I hope you catch it. I know my heart can be that way. So what is Jesus teaching the disciples here in this prayer? What is he teaching each and every one of us in his prayer? Well, we call it the model prayer, but what if Jesus is really just giving us a framework for prayer? Because is this the only prayer in the Bible? No. As a matter of fact, the entire book of Psalms we know as worship songs are actually prayers. They are prayers. The whole book of Lamentations, come on, that's a prayer. Job, the whole book of Job is full of prayers. So much so, Job 42, when Job gets there at the end, he repents and says, okay, Lord, I give it up to you. You created the heavens and earth. I get it. I'm going to pray to you. Finally, I'm going to pray to you. We see it, Jesus, throughout his entire ministry, is praying. He goes to a lonely place to pray. He prays with the disciples. So much so, John 17, before he's going to the cross, he is praying. It is not the only prayer. So many times, maybe where we grew up is, we think this is the only prayer we should have. And what if it isn't this about, what if this isn't about being the only prayer, but it's something more behind the prayer? And so for us to find that, let's go up just a little bit in verse 5 through 8 in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 5 through 8. This is what Jesus is talking leading up to this framework of prayer he gives us. And he says this in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Think about that. How crazy awesome is that? So before you and I even get on our knees to pray, God already knows what we need. Isn't that comforting? Like for me, sometimes I don't know the words. I'm thankful the Holy Spirit is there. Jesus is our mediator. The Holy Spirit is our intermediary, and he is intercessory between that, and he's given those wordless groans for us. If you grew up in church, you know what I'm talking about. But for each and every one of us, that should be comforting. What Jesus is giving us when it comes to prayer is the ultimate test of where we are spiritually with him. And it's seriously this. What is our private prayer life? We have to have public prayer and private prayer. They both bring us closer to God. But what's more important is our private prayer, because it's reflected in our public prayer. It's a lot to put in. If our only prayer is in front of everyone else, it really doesn't benefit us as full as it could be if we had it behind closed doors and in front of everyone else. Picking up what I'm laying down? Maybe. I'll say it this way, and I'll share it again in a moment. I'm as only good as a pastor as I can be for you as I am on my knees. If I'm not on my knees for you, I can't point you to Jesus the way that I need to, the way that he's called me to. And that should be true for each and every one of us wherever we are. And so what Jesus is saying, because of that, the depths of our private prayer is reflected in our public prayer. And so from this, Jesus says, okay, so what is this doing, this privately and publicly? What does it do when we go behind closed doors? Well, our prayer reveals what we treasure, doesn't it? It reveals our heart. So we're going to unpack the Lord's Prayer here in a moment, but did it start with you or I in any of it? Did it start with my need? It gets to my need. It gets to my provision, but it started with God. And so for us, I don't know, many times that's where I get stuck with prayer, right? I don't want to go in saying, hallowed be thy name. I'm going to be like, yeah, your name's good and everything. Here's my list. Here it is. Are you serious, Clark? This is just a real nice surprise, Jesus. It's a alphabetized list with all the kids, starting with Catherine for all the Christmas gifts. That's what I want to do sometimes. Well, it's good to keep a prayer journal, by the way. It's awesome, because Jesus reminds me of the times I've been doing that. So if we're looking at this prayer, then the question really is, what is prayer? What is prayer? Have you ever thought about that? All of us have a definition in church, right? What is prayer? It's what? Talking to God, right? Talking to God. What if there's a little bit more to that? See, as a matter of fact, in the 18th century, 1800s, 19th century, we think of modern psychology. There are many people who tried to define prayer. One of them was Freud. We talk about Freud a lot. We don't follow everything that he does, but he did have some development cycle things that you can't deny are true. But he set out to disprove prayer, and he said that prayer is a vain human condition to try to control nature. That we pray to try to control nature. So let me ask you this. How many of our kids prayed for snow? In vain. Yeah, and the teachers, even though they had to go through all of this past week, right? Like, I can't control nature. It ain't worked yet. So I'm going to tell you, he's saying that it's vain. So in other words, what Sigmund Freud is saying, and Frederick Tyler is the other one, he's saying that prayer is how we go outside of ourselves to control things. Another guy named Carl Jung, if you know anything about him when it comes to psychology, he says, no. You don't go outside of yourself, and you see this practiced in New Age spiritualism today. You have to go inside yourself for your prayer to be the right prayer. As a matter of fact, you got to go into a deep consciousness, so much so that you not only become one with God, you become like a God. And that's how you have the right prayer. And so New Age spiritualism will tell you, well, if I don't think it, then it ain't going to happen. Or if I'm one with God, let me ask you, you and I, what does that sound like if I want to be one with God? That sound like Satan? Isn't that what got him kicked out of heaven? So we have these two people with these two diametrically opposed ideas that say it's an outward prayer and an inward prayer that's the right prayer. But what if I told you they were just scratching the surface? As Christians, we pray both. We pray inwardly. Why do we pray inwardly? Because from the foundations of the earth, we were in communion with God, right? From the garden, we were in communion with God until sin entered in. Now, really quick, if you've been in church, can I take you on a journey for a minute? Can we do that for a minute? Maybe a little Bible quiz. Let's have a Bible sword drill. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do any of that in the house of the Lord. But if you remember, you remember. It was good times. Where was the presence of God housed before the temple and the tabernacle? There was this thing that the people of God carried. The what? The Ark of the Covenant. What happened if we touched it? We died. So see, when sin entered in, we couldn't be in the presence of God.
And if we came near it, we could die. Yet through Christ, we have the very presence of God in us through the Holy Spirit. So we do go inwardly to pray, if you're picking up what I'm laying down. We have God dwelling in us. We are not by ourselves. We are not one with God, but we have God with us. Yet outwardly, we have this prophetic kingdom is what I'm getting at. Is outwardly, we pray because we know God's sovereign and we are hopeless and helpless in our sin. And God is in heaven over of all things. So he not only lives inside of us, he is in heaven all thing, doing all things and over all things, providing for us as he builds his kingdom. So we pray both. Don't you just wish like Freud and Jung could have just went one step further to understand that? Further? Yeah, because it's imaginary. It's not a real thing. Further to understand that? What if we understood that? What if prayer is this? I'm going to give you this long definition that Jesus gave me because you know that's how I roll. If you're with me, give me an amen. Amen. All right, that's a long one. There's a pop quiz tomorrow. We're going to have a pop quiz on it. We really aren't. I promise you. But this is what the Spirit has been laying on me. And the Holy Spirit will give you the definition you need. This is just how my crazy brain goes with it. And it's long, but it's going to be up here. Are you ready? Prayer isn't just a conversation with God. This is what prayer is. Shared this Thursday, so we're going to dive into it again. Prayer is continuing a conversation with God that he started with his word by his grace, which through faith leads to a full relationship with him. Now, we're going to leave this on the screen for a minute. If you want to take notes, you go there. This is what this means. Prayer is a conversation and continuing a conversation with God that he started with his word. What does Genesis 1 happen? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and formless, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters, and there was darkness over the land. And God did what? He spoke. He said, let there be light. His word. His word. A couple of weeks ago, we shared Isaiah 55:10-11. God says his word will not return void. His word has already been out there. Your prayer, if God knows your needs before you even pray it, the conversation already started. It's continuing it, not starting it. And I don't know about you, but for me, as I was diving into this, it gave me some freedom. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't have to say the wrong prayer. I can't say the wrong thing. I just continue a conversation with God. So prayer is continuing a conversation with God that he started with his word, which was by his grace alone for us, right? He started with his word by his grace, which through faith leads to a full relationship with him. Now, we know that faith is in Christ and Christ alone. So in other words, when I go to pray, God is already sitting at the table. He has my place ready. He's got my daily bread ready. And he's sitting there and he's excited for me to walk in the room. As opposed to me trying to keep God on an appointment time. That should be freeing. It's freeing to me. Because then I don't have to worry about the icebreaker with God. I don't have to worry about the joke. I don't have to worry about what's going on. I can just be honest with God. So let's talk about this when it comes to communication then when we talk about words. How many remember our first word? None of us. No Sheldons in the space and place, right? No Sheldons. None of us remember our first word, right? So let me ask you this then. Do you remember then how you learned your first word? You don't, right? But let's go a few steps down the road then. How do you think you learned your first word? Did you just come up with it or was it spoken to you? Why do mom and dad try to do it first? Dada, say dada first. Dada, dada, mama, crap. Something's wrong with the baby. I don't know what's happening, but need to get it tested. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's got a virus. I don't know what it is. What if when you learned to speak, you were just continuing a conversation with your parents? That's all prayer is. Continuing a conversation. We didn't learn the word. The word was already in us. It was fully revealed in faith through Christ Jesus. So that's how that prayer comes out. And that's how we continue this conversation with God, which leads us to the world we live in today. Why are we so infatuated with these little speakers in our house and our phone that we speak and something happens? Do you know why? Because we want to be one with God. See, when I get my word and it goes out, the only way that it's received well is an action has to follow it. Like, I can go and say, Alexa, or whatever you say with it. They'll probably kick us off for that. I don't know. Whatever. Well, Alexa or Siri, what would we make that up to be? Neptune or Pluto, whatever. Turn the lights on. And then the lights turned on. I don't have all that because I'm not cool. I wear tinfoil hats, if you know, I know. I would rather just flip the light switch. I can scream at my light switch all day long, turn on! But until I go and flip the switch, it's not going to turn on, right? There's an action that's required. You know what we call that action? Faith. You and I can speak, but faith has to follow for something to happen. Hopefully you're picking up what I'm laying down now, okay? When God speaks, the action's already done. There is no faith required. His word is action. So God's word spoke, everything was created. It is inside of us. When we speak his word, it will accomplish what it sets out to do. It is already done. But when you and I speak, we have to have faith to follow it. So how does that play into prayer? There is no wrong prayer except a prayer of faith is the only right prayer. Anything prayed outside of faith in Jesus Christ alone is the wrong prayer. Anything prayed in faith through Jesus Christ is the right prayer. There is no words. We do it every week. We'll do the invitation here in a moment. We'll say it's not the words, it's the faith, right? The faith. Faith that saves you. So when it comes to prayer, sometimes we can go in 17 different tangents, but honestly, let's not overcomplicate it. It's just continuing a conversation. So you would say, well, sometimes words aren't necessary. Come on, we all had a mom that gave the look, right? Especially in church. Just saying. But how many years of action were before that look so that the words weren't required? Married couples, you've been married 20 years. You know why you can look at each other and know what you're thinking? Because you got 20 years of conversations. What if your first date you just looked at each other, didn't say anything? I don't know if there'd be a second date. We long to communicate. If you just looked at each other that way, now here's the funny thing. You wouldn't look at each other anyway because you're looking at your phone the whole dang time. I'm just saying, it is what it is. I know my 17 wives, I just, you know, number 18 is the one. But for real, communication, we long to communicate. What if we understood that our Heavenly Father longed to communicate with us and he's already started the conversation? He's done the hard part. We just got to show up. See, that's what prayer is. That's what Jesus is teaching us. Jesus is teaching us to be in an intimate relationship with God, got to have prayer. Prayer. What if we understood prayer is like, as we see these hands, what if prayer is just reaching out and holding God's hand? What if that's what it was? As Isaiah 64 talks about, I can't remember the verse, I'm sorry. Homework this week. There we go. Isaiah 64 says, God talks about it. The prophet Isaiah writes it, and he talks about the people and talks about God, and he talks about reaching for God's hand, and it's actually in Hebrew, it means hugging God. Prayer is hugging God. I don't know about you, but when I came to Jesus, I remember the Father waiting at the end of the road with his arms wide open, hugging the prodigal that came home. And if any of us who know Jesus would say we love that, that's what prayer is every time. Him hugging us and us hugging him. That's amazing for us. So what happens with us? So without getting too crazy, it's kind of an overview this week. We'll have the next few weeks. We're going to continue to dive in. So when we think about that, when it comes to prayer then, how do we pray the right way? Well, Jesus is giving us the framework, and we'll unpack it in a second. But how many times do we think prayer is just an exchanging of ideas? Kind of like a CEO in a boardroom. That's what we think God is. He's got to approve the budget, right? Like, God, I know that you have $1 million you're giving out. Can I get this much of the slice in the budget? He's got the cattle of 1,000 hills. We know that. What if prayer instead isn't an exchanging of ideas, but a giving of ourselves and a receiving of God? What if we understood that prayer requires us to give of ourselves? Requires us to fully give of ourselves. I will tell you, prayer teaches me more about me than anything else in this world, than a mirror when I look at it. Prayer with scripture teaches me more about myself than anything else. It will tell me where I have fallen short. It will tell me where I've been obedient. It will encourage me, and it will discipline me. Prayer, real prayer. And if we have a rich prayer life, we're not going to run when the times get tough and the going gets tough. Paul writes a whole book of Philippians from jail, and he talks about the joy, right? Like, he's excited. He counts it all joy. In 1 Thessalonians, he's telling them, hey, pray without ceasing. He gives joy, joy, joy. He goes and he talks about that. He's not worried about his circumstances. He knows that God is holding it all together. So this is why Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer this framework. And the framework is simply this. He's saying in those first two, at verse 9 and 10, he's saying God is the center of prayer, not you and I. Prayer should be a humbling experience at times because we don't have control. And what do I mean by humbling? It's not about us. Sometimes I like to have my little prayer. Like, I keep a prayer journal, and Jesus has to remind me so many times when I'm wandering in the wilderness like the Israelites. Tyler, we've been here before. Jesus, going to keep going in circles. But when we look at that and we talk about our prayer journals and we talk about God being at the center of it, don't we like to bend God to our desires? Come on now, any girl can go to their father most of the time, just sit on his lap and bat their eyes. Yet you can have a pony, everything. Yes, the pony, the stagecoach, the house, the barn. Yes, absolutely. And boys, we can do that for mom. Like, that's it. We can do that. She'll give us a look, but we can do it. And we'll be good for a second until we get it, and then we'll be bad again. It's just how we roll. But we do that. But what if prayer isn't about us getting God fitting into our box of desires, but our heart should be about knowing God's desire for us? So that's why Jesus says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That I'm going NKJV, forgive me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, we are forming ourselves to God's desire. We're not telling God what we're accomplishing today. We're asking God, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to teach me today? He says, give us this day our daily bread in verse 11, because God is our provision. Our job is not our provision. Our house is not our provision. Our car is not our provision. And Lord knows our government is not our provision. Wherever we are, God. And it's not bread for later. He says, I will give you, remember he gave the Israelites 2 days of manna before the Sabbath. Otherwise, they got daily bread. They had enough for daily. And I don't know about you, but I don't like praying for daily bread. I want to talk about what we're going to do in the spring, Jesus. I want to talk about what we're going to do this summer. Like, I want to talk about what the Seminole is going to do in the fall. Praise Jesus' name. I don't ever say it from the church, but I'm just saying it. We're praying for it. Last time I prayed for them, the Seahawks, they won the Super Bowl and the National. I'm just putting it out there. So that being said, all the way through, we want to know. We don't want to get past today. And you know what that does to me? It takes my anxiety to a level 3,000 because I'm worried about tomorrow. When I'm just asking God to get me through today. See, prayer itself, a prayer of faith, as we saw in the opener, is a desperation. I can't make it through the day without you. God, show me the way. What if we did that every day? What if that's what prayer was about? Like getting on our knees and saying, God, this is better than any medication you give me. If I don't fill my tank with your will, I can't make it through. I don't have the strength to stand. How much different could our lives be? How much more joy could our prayer be filled with? How much more action could our words have? Maybe that's a challenge to you. It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge that Jesus is saying, hey, I'm giving you enough for today. Take that. Doesn't mean we don't plan. Doesn't mean that we don't try to look ahead and we don't walk in the wisdom that God's given us yet. We still only are expected to go through the provision today. And he ends up saying, verse 12 and 13 are reminding us we can't save ourselves. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, right? He's going and he's telling each and every one of us as we talk about forgiving our debts and forgiving our debtors. If you grew up in KJV, mine was transgressions and transgressors. If you're in something else, NLT, ESV, I think is forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. The only way we can do that is if we start with God, because we can't save ourselves. And only through Christ can we give forgiveness. So this is what I want to tell you. Maybe you're watching online right now. Maybe something's going with you right now is this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you can't figure out why you can't get past something, maybe you can't forgive yourself or forgive that person, it's because you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You don't know what real forgiveness is. I would say that's probably the biggest thing lacking in our world, isn't it? I would say we have apathy more than forgiveness. And Jesus didn't die for us to have apathy. He just didn't. He died for us to be able to forgive. And so for each and every one of us, I wonder if we dove into prayer that way and use this prayer as a framework for prayer. Maybe God's calling you to journal over these next few days. I would encourage you. It's helped me just because obviously I'm hard-headed. I go back and I can see seasons in life where, man, I was on spiritual empty, and I've seen Jesus fill up. I've been where it's been the highest mountain, and I'm giving shouts of praise to the Lord, and then all of a sudden, boom, went straight down, right? Just went right into the pit, went right into the valley, and couldn't figure out what was going on, and Jesus just kept reminding me all the way through of his faithfulness. See, here's the crazy thing. When I go back on those journals, if you're going through a struggle, can I put all my cards on the table, church? Can we do that? If you're struggling with something, I go back to my prayer journal and see what Jesus has taught me. And most of the time, he's already taught me what we're going to get to pray through. And when I go to you with my struggle, guess what? He's already taught you what we're about to pray through. See, that's what this is about. That's what Jesus is teaching us. That's what Jesus is helping us walk through. So I'm excited to dive into this series together, and we're going to kind of go a little different way about it, but I'm hoping and praying that we not only know God better, that as we know God better, we know who we were created to be better. Because who better than the Creator to know who we were created to be? So let me ask you this before we get ready for invitation here in just a moment. I said that the prayer of what is what God hears. It's a prayer. It starts with that F. It's a prayer of what, church? Faith. If I go outside right now, maybe it's cloudy, I'm going to say this. I look directly at the sun with my glasses. Am I going to be able to behold the full glory of the sun for long? Is it going to have devastating consequences? It probably is, right? But what if, here we go. We get my old man ones. I need some new ones, so let's laugh. Hang on, we got to get this. Somebody get the, every girl crazy about a shot. Come on, get it. You got to get ready. No? I got my old man glasses. If I put a filter on, can I look at that sun better? Can I behold the solar flares? Now, obviously, I can't with this, but if I have a microscope and I have the right filter, the solar flares and the holes on the sun, and I behold it, I can actually walk in the glory of it, can I? Like, all of a sudden, the sun's out. I can be excited. I can see that it illuminates the moon. I can take all of that in. I can be a part of the sun's full glory with the right filter. Church, that's what Jesus is for us. The right filter. To behold the full glory that we were created to walk in of a creator God. And it can only be found through Christ Jesus, because the prayer of faith will be the only thing that helps us walk in that. And so today, I know in this house that each and every one of us know about the filter of Christ. We've confessed Jesus as Lord, and we have made him our filter. I wonder if we would approach the throne of grace and the throne room every day with that filter, knowing that we can't pray the wrong prayer, that there's a God that loves us, that not only sent his son to die and defeat death, sin, hell, and the grave for us, and doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, but he just wants to talk to us. You know, the first thing we say, I know I would say, is when I get to heaven, you say, I want to talk to this person, right? You want to talk to this person. We have a heavenly father, that's all he's ever wanted, was to continue the conversation he started with us way back from the foundations of the earth. Conversation that reminds us that you and I are seen, we are heard, and we are loved. And so the prayer of faith we pray each and every week is for the benefit of those who come to faith for the first time. It's not the words that saves you, it's the faith. As a matter of fact, Paul writes in Romans 10, 9 and 10 what this prayer really is all about. It says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you are justified, and it is with your mouth you profess your faith, and you are saved. So with our heart we believe and are justified. With our mouth we profess our faith and save. See, for each and every one of us, it is the prayer of faith that saves us. And so right now, maybe you're looking back at your life. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're just tuning in, and I want to tell you it's not by accident. God already knew this conversation was going to be happening today. And I want to let you know that we want to help you continue that conversation, because as a Vine family here today, we're going to pray these words out loud, not the words that saves us, but the faith, because we want you to be able to continue that conversation with God through Christ alone. See, in the beginning, we were created to be in a conversation with God. We communed with him every day. But you see, we have this thing called sin in our life that separated us from God. And you say, what in the world is sin? Well, that's anything that's not perfect. How many of us are perfect today? I know I'm near it, I know. But how many of us are perfect today? None of us. So all of us can't be perfect. All of us are left out. So that is a hopeless, helpless situation. But God said, hey, I still want to have this conversation with you, but you got to be perfect to be in my sight. So instead of you trying to figure out how to be perfect, I'm going to send perfection to you. And that's what we just celebrated at Christmas, is God coming down, Emmanuel with us, Jesus Christ, coming to be perfection for us, living the perfect life we couldn't live, the sinless life we couldn't live. And he didn't stop there. He said, hey, I don't want you to only be able to come to God's house. I want you to be able to sit down at his table. Because the other way that you stay perfect is you have a sacrifice every time you come into God's presence. So I'm going to be your eternal sacrifice. So he paid that penalty for our sins on the cross, dying for us as the eternal sacrifice, and said, hey, dude, I know that you're afraid. Your biggest fear in this life is going to be death. I don't care what anybody says. You can say it's spiders. You can say it's running out of gas. You can say no more macaroni and cheese and banana pudding. Whatever that is, your biggest fear in life is going to be death. So I'm going to go beat it. And so Jesus left an empty tomb. He rose again on the third day so that we could not only be clothed in his perfection in a conversation with God, we could continue to walk in a full relationship with him. And so today, if that's you, I want to ask you, would you consider Jesus? Would you consider Jesus? Would you receive this free gift of salvation that Jesus died and rose again to give you? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we pray this prayer as a Vine fam for the benefit of those coming to faith. And the first time, would everyone please repeat these words after me? Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed in this house and online, if you prayed that prayer of faith, I want to ask you to do something bold. If it's the first time that you have received this free gift of salvation, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If you're in the house, you can raise your hand. If you're watching online, you can raise your hand as well. You may see something on there. There may be a comment that says thevine.tv/response. Click that link. What we want to do is we want to celebrate this decision with you, and we want to help you walk in that full relationship and through that conversation that God wants to have with you by getting you in connection with a local church. Because as we started, the prayer of the local church is so that each and every one of us would know God better through Christ Jesus. Well, if that's you today, would you please do that? And for the rest of us, you can look up, and we're gonna continue into worship here, and we're gonna continue this conversation with God that we started from the moment today. So I'm going to pray as we get ready to worship, but my prayer is going to be this, that we know that the word of Christ Jesus is what we carry out into the world, that through him alone we have hope. Cancer, Jesus is the name. Heart attack, Jesus is the name. Job loss, Jesus is the name. Struggle, Jesus is the name. Grief, Jesus is the name. That's what we're going to carry out into the street. So if you'll stand, I'm going to pray, and we're going to continue to worship together. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity again that you have given us to come into your house and to lift your name high. But more importantly, Jesus, thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to get to know you, our Savior, our Lord, our King of Kings, Jesus. And that not only do we get to know you, we get to bring you to the streets so that others get to know you. So I pray today that what we laid down at your feet earlier at the beginning of this message, Jesus, you didn't call us to pick it up. We don't pick it back up, and we lay it at your feet today. So as we go into this moment in praise, Jesus, I pray that we would know you better, and I pray that as we get to know you better, we would be emboldened and encouraged to share you more. We love you, Jesus. It's in your wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen.
Shout! what? He didn't give it to us just to hold on. Let's go bring it in these streets. I will know right now, whoever we meet today, there in the highways, we go the highways, byways, the hollers and the hills, wherever we go, the name of Jesus. Don't try to figure it out. You got to go through a track. Jesus, the name of Jesus. Let's just continue to share him, church. And I hope wherever you are and we dive in this series, if you didn't get to make it this week, we try our best to pray before the message. When we fail on that, that's on me. But we always make sure, no matter what we do, when you come into this place, the name of Jesus will be proclaimed and it'll be able to be carried out in the streets. So we hope to see your smiling face next week for zero calorie food in Jesus' name and to continue our prayer series. Have a great week, and always remember the best is still yet to come.